I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The Staff and Graf Podcast.
This is weird. My lock's been drilled, so I open the door and my steering wheel is missing.
In links or salad?
You know what? You're trying very hard not to get sued.
You can have all the talent in the world skating around, but if you don't have a goaltender, it does not matter.
Team Tidy Business, baby. The Leafs are absolutely cooked, Rachel. They're done.
They played one game.
They're done. It's over.
Mike is not happy with the Leafs.
It's over. It's done.
Well, I think we could both agree. We said going in, goaltending was going to be the X factor. Mm-hmm. Game one, X factor immediately. Mm-hmm. Penalty kill, X factor immediately. But we said if Toronto was going to have an advantage, it was going to be because they were able to have the three productive lines and they were able to have depth. Without Nylander, they don't have that, which means it gives them Zippo!
The thing about the Bruins, though, it's on paper. I don't think they really have that three line, that three scoring line depth either, and yet.
But they have better goaltending.
They're making it work, and they have better goaltending. Like
that's why they're making it work is because they have better goaltending.
I would say if you look at it from like a personnel to personnel, if you compare them, the Leafs definitely have the better forward group.
100%.
I would even make an argument that the Leafs have the better defensive core. I think depth wise.
Depth, yes, but that top pair on Boston makes a massive difference.
Definitely, because they don't have Ilya Labushkin on their top pair. You know, like it's...
Yeah, they have two guys that were in the Norris conversation last year.
They have two perennial Norris, you know, conversation guys. But I think, like, in the playoffs, and we saw that with Vegas last year, depth is king. Like, yes, they had really good sort of up front, but I would say, like...
Well, you got to have some level of star, right? Like, Jack Eichel and Mark Stone were...
Yeah, but depth is king, though. Like, the Panthers had stars up front. They had Aaron Ekblad. They had Brandon Montour. They had even, like, Gustav Forsling is now a star. But pretty much anyone past them was not good enough. And Vegas, who had really good players but also, like, great depth on that back end, they made it work. They overwhelmed them. We saw it. It happened. And I think the Leafs have The Leafs have like nine NHL ready defensemen right now, and the Bruins have they have good defensemen. But I would say if you're able to run through it, the Leafs maybe have a better sort of like
Bruins have the better defensemen. The Leafs have more
exactly. So I would even like in the grand scheme of things, I'd say you know maybe take the Leafs defense here.
Oh, I would still take Boston,
but it's the goaltending, and we knew it from the start. And the worst part is that, like, there really is no easy option because Joseph Woll played phenomenally through the first two, three months of the season. Yeah. And then he got a high ankle sprain. Ouch. And goalies are notoriously, like, you know, like, just because it's such an elastic Gumby-type position that, like, injuries can linger. And so he came back. He took a long time off, but he came back. And he has sucked since he got back. And the thing is, Samsonov got waived, did a whole mental reset, played very well when he came back.
Yeah, but really well.
Throughout the last sort of month, 3 weeks of the season, has also sucked.
Yeah.
So the Leafs have two goalies that suck. And so then you're thinking, okay, what are our other options? Martin Jones?
Not an option.
He was good as a stopgap. He saved that season for a bit. He really did without Martin Jones.
Yes.
The Leafs are... Either
probably in a wild card spot.
Maybe not.
No, they're
even
better than Detroit and Washington for sure.
You think they?
Absolutely. 100%.
Here's my hot take. Here's my hot take. Not hot take, but like, I think if the Leafs had to get into a tooth and nail wild card battle like it was towards the end of the season with those four teams, I think they wilt under that pressure.
Oh, I don't.
Really?
Nope, I don't. They would be by far the best team in
that. No, they're the best team. I think they wilt under the pressure.
No chance.
All right, well then, this is... It's the great... We have difference of opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think there's
any chance of that. What I do think is Derek Clancy, Brad Tree Living, Brandon Pridham are watching this and going, goaltending matters. And speaking of goaltending, it's mattering in Colorado too. Like, those teams... The difference being is that Colorado has, the best defenseman in the league.
Yeah.
And... They can cover up
the best defense pairing in the league.
Yeah, they can cover a lot of their misgivings or their goaltending misgivings because of that. And Toronto doesn't have that luxury. And that's a huge problem. Obviously, look, Swayman and Ullmark are good. They're not Connor Hellebuck this year good. Like, Connor Hellebuck was the best goalie in the league this year. You put six in on him in game one, you got to win that fucking game.
On the road. And they lose because and
we're gonna. I guess it's like a perfect segue into
our previews because we might as well just start with Jets and Avs. But Connor Hellebuck let in six goals at home in the playoffs. That's not gonna happen again. Very likely.
Probably not gonna happen again. Yeah.
Alexander Georgiev, on the other hand, allowed seven goals on 23 shots.
That's like a .680 save percentage. That's not going to cut it.
He had made 16 saves.
Yeah, it's just not.
That's just not okay. And it brings me back to, I believe it was 2021, when a young, offensively inclined defenseman on the Rangers, Tony DeAngelo, stepped off the ice, looked at Alex Georgiev, and hollered at him, "Make a fucking save," to which Georgiev swung at him and clocked him in the face.
Correct.
Thus creating a timeline in which Tony DeAngelo is now likely out of the league.
So, to be fair, we're cutting Georgiev slack because ultimately he is a good one.
However, if Nathan MacKinnon
said
make a fucking save and then punch Georgiev in the face during an intermission, I think a lot of people would look the other way.
Yeah!
I think a lot of people would say, "I don't see nothing." You know, that was shocking.
Oh, some of those goals were
shocking.
Genuinely horrendous.
Like
Kyle Connor being surprised that he scored is probably all you need to know. Cause he was like, okay.
Yeah. It was pretty shocking. So let's get into it.
The goaltending, we said that the goaltending was going to be the difference in the Toronto series. It already is. And I think you and I agreed kind of just doing our prep for today in the playoff previews that goaltending was going to be a difference maker in the Colorado Winnipeg series. And let's fire that one up because
so let's do it.
Game one, 7-6. Mm-hmm. That atmosphere was so rowdy that Pat McAfee was talking about it this morning.
Look, it was a great game. Like,
it's the best game so far.
Like, goaltending aside, like, you know, I would even say like bad goaltending can make a great game. Like it was, there was bad goaltending on both sides. It just happened to be that Georgiev was worse than Hellebuck that night, and also pretty much every other night. But
I was gonna say, wait, is this not a great argument? Like Georgiev finishing first in wins this year. Tell me that's not the best argument for wins are a team stat.
Everyone, the thing that I saw was like, how does this happen with Georgiev? He was an all-star a couple months ago.
He shouldn't ought to been, and we said that.
Now, the main thing I would say, and I wrote a column about this for, I think it was Colorado Hockey Now or something, like when I was at the All-Star game, and it's that Georgiev, it was, and I believe towards, I think at the end of the season, ended up being the busiest goalie in the league. He was started the most. He saved the most shots. And that happened last year, too. He's going on 2 years of being the busiest goalie in the league when, prior to that, he was at best a platoon guy.
Yeah.
So this is...
Maybe he's tired.
So he's probably just gassed. Because he's a good goalie. He was a good goalie last year.
I mean, Anonen was sick for game one.
He's still sick.
Yeah. I think there's probably a discussion to be had, though, because I am not sure
you can't put the random dude in.
You can't put Arvid Holman. He's a Winnipeg Jets player that was an emergency backup.
That's what I'm saying. Like, who else do you have? You don't have
no, anybody. You had to leave Georgiev in, but yeah. I think for game two, if Annanen is, like, alive.
Sick. That's what Bednar said, right? Literally right before I got here to record the podcast, said he's still sick. So it's looking like he'll
probably get some IV in that boy right quick, or you might be going home down 2-0.
Well, your options are Alexander Georgiev, who...
Or like, sick Eustace Annanen.
Or Eustace Annanen, who's probably...
half dead.
Like a fire hydrant coming out of both ends right now. You have to be really sick to miss a playoff game, you know?
Yeah, so that's...
Like, that guy's probably pooping
and you gotta have puking. Pneumonia, basically. Yeah.
No, he probably has fluids coming out of holes he didn't even know he had right now.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's do what we did last week, Rachel, where all we right. do series prediction, X factor, and MVP pick for this series.
And fancy stats, and which fancy are on stats. Our Instagram account if you want to go
absolutely
peep those, and on TikTok.
Take a wild guess who those are courtesy of.
Not Mike.
Not me. All right, so what's your series prediction, Rachel?
All right, so 5-on-5 goals for, I don't think any, this is not surprising anybody, Colorado. They were like one of the top teams in the league. But 5-on-5 goals against per 60, Winnipeg was top in the league, 1.8. Colorado's 2.55. That is a chasmic difference.
That is. It's a big difference.
Goaltending problem, as we've discussed. The power play, Winnipeg's only 18%, Colorado 24.5%. Yeah. That's a big one. The penalty kills are like a 3% difference. That's not, they're both in and around 80%.
Yeah.
Both teams 5-on-5 expected goals for share around 52%, but Winnipeg has the 2.5% better PDO. So
luckier.
Well, when you have Connor Hellebuck or Alexander Georgiev, that usually accounts for some PDO situations here. And Winnipeg won all three games in the season series. So despite Colorado having
the better team,
The Jets have the better goaltender, and that was the difference in every single game that they played.
Yeah.
So I think when you look at it from that perspective, Winnipeg won game one. It was the first time they'd won a home playoff game since 2018, which is shocking.
It's amazing.
Given the atmosphere, like, you shouldn't lose a game there. That's crazy town. I think Colorado has more talent, very clearly.
But, hey, man, Winnipeg loaded
but
up.
But I feel like we're talking about Toronto-Boston again.
Winnipeg...
Colorado has more talent. Winnipeg has the goaltending.
The difference is that the Leafs don't have a cup with a lot of players still there.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, we're talking about a team that has supremely talented and a bad goalie.
But the difference is that I would say Colorado has a lot, like their entire core and has a lot of supporting players who have been there, who have won a cup, and won a cup with not great goaltending either. Like, people forget,
it was average.
It was...
This is below average. This is different.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying, like, Kemper was not very good.
No, but he was acceptable.
He was acceptable, but he was like...
Georgiev is... This is unacceptable.
But I don't think this is going to be... He's going to stop more than 60% of the shots next game. I think he is.
Well, he's going to have to.
Yeah. But, like, what I'm saying is, I am picking the Avs in 7.
Okay.
I think that the Avs, whether it's Georgiev turning it around, which can start tomorrow night, or it's Annanen coming in there and stealing the show, there will be at least some somewhat capable goaltending, and I think that's all the Avs need. You have...
Oh, they're very clearly the better team. We saw last night they outshot them 45-23. Yeah, and they
pumped 6 goals past Connor Hellebuck. If they get even if they get 2 extra saves in that game, they win.
Yeah,
I think they have a goalie on that roster right now that is going to make those 2 extra saves, and that will be the difference. I think it'll come down. It might even go to OT in Game 7. It'll be way closer than it should be.
Right.
And I also, Rachel, and this is a very key point, and there's a lot of a lot of numbers go into this, is that I really want to see Jesse Pollock cry. So that's why I'm picking Avs in 7. Okay?
Okay. I'm also going to take the Avs.
Okay. Who is your X? What's your X? Obviously, X Factor is goaltending. We can just say that right away. X Factor is goaltending.
The X Factor, yeah, is.
I even have my X Factor as Georgiev. No matter which way the series go, I have them picking, I have them winning, and still my X Factor is Georgiev.
Because if he is pumpkin mode, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Who's your MVP pick, though, for the series?
Ooh, honestly, after watching last night, it's foolish of me to say anybody but Nate Dogg. Nathan MacKinnon was,
that's a fucking star right
there. I watched last night, and I said to myself, I don't know how you watch this player play this year. Mm. Like, we're just talking about this season.
He should win the heart.
And not think he is MVP.
Yeah, he should win
the
heart.
He was crazy pants last night. Like, there were probably three or four times where he got the puck, and I was like, he getting a shot on net, and he might score here. Like, it's one of those. I remember what Bruce Boudreau said to me about Alexander Ovechkin once, which is, when he picks up the puck and gets going with a head of steam, you just say, oh boy.
Yeah.
And if he scores, he scores. And if he doesn't, it's probably because you got lucky. And I watched last night and I just kind of said to myself, like, Matthews was fantastic this year. McDavid was fantastic. Kucherov was good this year. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know how you watch that from Nathan MacKinnon and think
it's
that
another level.
He is not the most valuable player in this league right now. That was absurd last night. So I'm taking him as my series MVP because I think Adam Lowry did a really good job of kind of keeping him at bay last night. And he's still got, I think, 3 points.
Yeah.
Like, he's crazy.
There's only
town.
So much you can do. Mine is Cale Makar.
Kaylee Pop.
You can really kind of, it's like splitting hairs here. And I just say because as a series progresses, a number one defenseman stands out from the pack. A number one defenseman rises to the top. And you see that he ends up playing 30 minutes, 35 minutes a night. And, you know, I think that that's going to be, he's going to be extremely important. I think special teams are going to play a big factor in this, and he plays both.
And Colorado has the distinct advantage on special teams.
Exactly. So I think it'll be Cale Makar, but it could go either way. It really could.
This is going to be such a ridiculously good series.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
my God.
Buckle in. All right. Oilers versus Kings times three. It's the end of the trilogy, hopefully.
Hopefully.
It's the Dark Knight Rises. It's, what are other three?
Despicable Me, except there's a fourth one coming out.
It's, I believe it's...
The Deathly Hallows, there's three of them.
Is it Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Road Chip?
Yeah.
I think that was the third one. Yeah.
No, Chipwrecked was the third
Chipwrecked,
one.
And then The Road Chip was the last one? Was before? Okay, cool.
All right, Edmonton, LA. Edmonton leads the season series 3-1. Mm-hmm. They've run roughshod over LA
I'm
the whole year.
They just are leading in every statistic you can think of, basically.
Except two.
Okay, what are the two that they're not
so leading? Edmonton has a cosmic advantage for 5-on-5 goals for, mm-hmm. as we expect. But LA has a better 5-on-5 goals against.
Okay.
Like, it's basically like 14 points of difference, mm-hmm. so it's not terrible, but like, it's a difference.
Yeah, but it's a difference.
The special teams, this is my X factor.
Okay.
Edmonton's power play versus LA's penalty kill, because Edmonton's power play is 26.3%.
Really good.
And LA's penalty kill is 84.6%.
Also very good.
So, like,
that's
a clash of, like,
unstoppable object versus, or unstoppable force versus a movable object?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Versus, like, Edmonton's penalty kill is about 80%, and LA's power play is 22%. Mm. So it's like, those are basically average, but above average penalty kill versus a way above average power play, I feel like that's going to be a huge factor in this series. Edmonton is much better from an expected goal share perspective at 5-on-5, and PDO is basically even. So the key difference for me is that special teams matchup.
Yeah, they're both, the thing is with them too, is their goaltending is both, it's like equally shaky.
Like, oh, it's equally either, bad.
Like,
yeah.
But like, you could go, like, I can foresee a scenario where Cam Talbot plays very well.
I'm the opposite. I think Skinner is more likely to play well than Talbot.
I think he is too. But I can foresee a scenario where Cam Talbot puts it together for 7 games.
Yeah.
Like, it goes on a run, Mike Smith-esque, you know, funny enough. I can also see Stuart Skinner. I went through like five different Skinners in my head before I said
Skinner
that.
Skinner had a period of time this season.
Where he was very good. He was an all-star last year, too. Yeah. Like, it's... But
he's shown he can do it. It's just a matter of can he do it now.
Absolutely caving in on himself. I'm going Kings in seven.
Edmonton in six.
It's very tempting for me to pick Edmonton. Obviously, they have the better high-end stars. They, you know, like, I think that they maybe have a slight edge. No, I'm picking the Kings defense, I would say, over Edmonton's. But, like, I just...
Oh, I'm not. See, I'm taking Edmonton's.
You're taking Edmonton's blue line.
Bouchard's year this year, I would, like, obviously Drew Doughty in the playoffs is a bit of a different animal, but let's face it, he is in his mid-30s. Like, he is not Drew Doughty anymore.
Yeah.
And they, Ekholm played really well.
Yeah.
And I think now that Bouchard's taken that step forward, it's taken a lot of pressure off Nurse, and he's actually been much better on the second pairing role. So I think from a depth perspective, LA has the advantage because they've got guys like Laferriere and Byfield and Trevor Moore that can have that. But there is not one single player on LA you would take over any of McDavid, Dreisaitl, or Hyman. Zero, well, none, not even a thing.
I mean, I don't think that needed even to be said. Like,
right, so it's like if those three play to their capability, Edmonton wins a series like that. Because if Connor McDavid puts up 2 points a game, which is entirely possible, him and Dreisaitl, I looked this up. We know they're good in the regular season because God knows they've won like a billion trophies between them. Mm-hmm. Their production in the playoffs goes up by nearly 20%.
No, they
it's actually, they're the anti-Mitch Marner. Literally anti-Mitch Marner.
We're saving that discussion, by the way, for next episode.
When Mike loses his
mind. Like, depending on what happens.
How tonight and Wednesday go will be a determining fact. But what I'm saying is like, those guys have proven time and again that they actually get better when the games matter. Yeah. And that is super difficult to deal with if you're LA. Mm-hmm. I just think stylistically it's a bad matchup for LA.
I really... See, this is difficult because... On paper, I would say LA is well positioned to at least try and make life difficult for McDavid and for Dreisaitl. Because you match them, up with Dano and Kopitar. And then you would hope that outside of those two matchups, having Pierre-Luc Dubois...
There's no way you're going to say this.
Having Pierre-Luc Dubois would come in and give you some extra depth. Those three scoring lines that we like to talk about. However... quite been the case with Pierre-Luc Dubois this year.
Why? What happened?
Because Bobby McMahon finished with more goals than he did this
season. Wait,
what? Yeah.
That's not great. It's not great.
I believe Nick Robertson tied him.
Okay, that's really not
like
great.
It's a disaster. Disaster. Dang. But this is a perfect opportunity for him to redeem himself. It's a perfect opportunity. I'm not betting on it, but...
That's not something... Put it this way. I do a lot of betting.
Yeah, I'm definitely
that is not something I'd be putting my money on.
However,
your X Factor?
No. No, obviously not.
That would be really funny, guys.
Trevor Moore is my X Factor, obviously, and my MVP pick. Like, come on. But I will admit, there is some of my anti-Oilers bias that is playing into this. I hate the Oilers, I hate their fans, and I hate their media, and I hope that they lose.
Okay, but agree or disagree? Good for the game if McDavid's in the
Absolutely.
Cup final.
Absolutely. I will not be upset if they win.
No one's going to be angry if they have to watch McDavid play
No. The face of the league, the best player, one of the best players, someone who could go down as the best player in the history of the sport, is going to be playing more in the playoffs.
Oh!
Great. However, if they lose, we'll have a whole summer full of, are McDavid and Dreisaitl going to want out? Conversations.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Nugent Bowman wrote like a whole piece about it. Yeah.
And number two, I would just love the reaction of their fans and their media to a first round loss to an opponent that is so very clearly like outmatched. And also,
LA is the inferior team.
Absolutely. But also, I think these are two players in McDavid and Dreisaitl that. If you just go to Kopitar, and more specifically, Dano, and you go, hey, don't let that guy get within 2 inches away from you for the entire series.
See, I think that's easier said than done.
It's definitely easier said than
because,
done.
Because, okay, so I think with Draisaitl, that could happen.
Mm-hmm. McDavid's maybe too fast.
Exactly. But, like, if you tell Philip Deneau, please skate as fast as McDavid, that's not going
to
happen.
If you go to Deneau and you say, literally, like, if I, in any picture that is taken on the ice,
you better be there.
If you are not next to, like, Leon Draisaitl, if you are not, like, intimately next to him,
don't even leave room for Jesus.
Like, don't, definitely not. I want you inside of Leon Draisaitl every play. If you're not like, we'll buy you out. I don't give a shit. Like, and so that if you can find a way for them to just put all of their might into eliminating Draisaitl, yeah, McDavid can make a lot happen on his own, but that's a huge weapon that you've taken away. Right. And
you gotta worry about Hyman.
Exactly. But LA's got that depth too. LA's got Trevor Moore, who's a 30 goal scorer now.
Okay. But they don't have the bodies to shut down.
No, but they can maybe go toe to toe. Like Quentin Byfield, this could be, you said Alex Lafreniere is going to have his coming out party in this series?
Oh, my God.
I think Quentin Byfield, it could be the exact same thing for Quentin Byfield.
Do you know the parties that are going to happen in my brother's friend group Byfield has a coming out party?
The exact same
playoffs?
Thing happened with Byfield, you know? That's something, like, they have Kevin Fiala, who's like a point per game player who can rip it in there, you know? Like, they have a lot of really good players.
And the other guy that somehow hasn't come up yet, Adrian Kempe is pretty good at hockey.
So
I think LA, like we said, LA's got, they're more well-rounded, but literally no one is going to sit here and say that LA has more talent.
No, they don't.
Because that would be no team has more talent.
But I can see a scenario where LA, it'll come down to deployment, come down to coaching.
Right, and it's
McClellan. Oh, no, it's not.
No, it's Jim Hiller. Yeah, they fire. It's Jim Hiller versus Chris Knobloch. Like, they both fire their coaches.
It's Jim Hiller and DJ Smith.
Oh my God, it is DJ Smith. I think DJ Smith is better suited to be an assistant coach, anyways.
That's where he thrived, and I think that I think there's a scenario where.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that LA got better defensively once DJ was brought on.
Exactly. Like, DJ has his flaws, for example, playing Nikita Zaitsev as a top four defenseman, regardless if he was in Toronto or in Ottawa. But you give him you take Nikita Zaitsev away from him, and you give him LA's D court that is very good.
You have to play Drew Doughty. Oh, no!
You have Doughty, Mikey Anderson, like
Matt Roy,
Vlad Gavrikov, like all these kind of guys. There's some great players there and some great playoff performers there.
Doughty and Kopitar, chief among them.
Absolutely. So I think I'm going to pick Kings in seven.
All right. I'm going Oilers in six.
And I also think as well, it's almost very similar to Boston and Toronto, and I initially picked the Leafs in seven, and I'm looking like a fucking idiot right now for doing that. But you eventually, like, you play a team enough times in a seven-game series, like you're going to get a bounce here or there, unless you're Toronto. You're going to be able to figure something out, I think. And also, if you look at Edmonton up front, yes, obviously they have McDavid and they have Draisaitl and Hyman, which are like gods at this point. But Adam Henrique was a disaster when he came over. That was supposed to be a huge thing.
He's a playoff performer.
He is a playoff performer, but that was supposed to be a huge. Has he figured it out? Let's hope so. But he was a disaster when he came over. Yeah. That was supposed to fix a lot of things. They didn't really upgrade on D, and I thought they really could have used an upgrade on D. So,
did you? So did everyone else.
Exactly.
I feel like everyone and their mother was saying,
upgrade on D, and they didn't.
CC Bradtree Living.
So. Yeah, look.
I mean, at least he tried. Like, Edmondson, I think, has been a good pickup.
Yeah, but
Labushkin, maybe not so much.
Thursday's show is going to be very interesting for that, depending on what happens.
Mike's either coming in Maple Leaf face paint, or he's coming in like a
hoodie. A veil.
Yeah.
In funeral clothing.
He's wearing black. That's amazing. Okay, so yeah, I've got Oilers in six. I don't think that's necessarily a hot take.
No.
All right, where are we going next?
We're going Canucks and Predators.
Okay.
Obviously, Canucks are up 1-0. It was a great atmosphere. Is it Rogers Arena?
Rogers Arena. Well, when you don't have playoff hockey for 9 years.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
They got passion there. I will say, that song that was released is...
Oh. Everyone should be killed who is involved in that song. Okay, here's the funny thing about a song like that, too. And I tweeted it.
Like,
and I,
don't do that.
I tweeted it and then deleted it. So basically they had like a rap song. First of all, I always hate in rap songs when they reference like pop culture. Like I always hated in like a rap song that's tied into a movie when they would say like the character's name. It just cringed me. But Calgary Flames fans did the exact same thing with that in 2022 for the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was a remix of Cardi B's Up, but like for Calgary Flames hockey. It was notorious and went everywhere, went viral. Since that happened, they got bounced in the second round by the Battle of Alberta opponent, like rival.
They lost Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau.
Their two franchise faces walked out the door. Their coach who won the Jack Adams the year before
got fired.
And got fired in a way where he tanked the entire season and like basically like was involved in or investigated in potentially assaulting a player and was like basically mutinied out the door. They fired their GM and they signed the worst contract in the league, basically, in Jonathan Huberdeau. And then they've basically been forced into a rebuild that they can't really do because they signed that bad. Everything went wrong after that song. So, like, Canucks fans, and I know that you're not responsible for this video, but the Canucks fans that are responsible for this video, you are so lucky that you were able to win that game because, and if it was any other opponent, I think, that song would have doomed you. Now, I have the Canucks in six. I think I like Nashville as a playoff performer. I said that a million times before, but I just think that this Canucks roster has a bit more juice than they do.
Okay, so for legal reasons, I'm not gonna say what my prediction is because this is gonna be a good series though, because Nashville finished with more points over the back half of the season than the Canucks did. They were the better team in the back half of the season, except Vancouver had a really great start and was able to sustain it.
The Predators were the best team in the back half of the regular season.
They were incredible.
They were like 19-1-2 or something after they got told they're not allowed to see you too.
Which is crazy.
Like, no, but the record was like a Hamburglar-esque. It was crazy.
So 5-on-5 goals for Vancouver has the advantage. Mm-hmm. 5-on-5 goals against, Vancouver has the advantage. Although, over the last stretch, Nashville has the advantage. Yeah. So that, I think, is something to watch, I would say.
It's notable, at least. Yeah.
Their power plays are pretty much dead even. They're both bad.
Mm-hmm.
Their penalty kills are, Nashville's is a little bit worse at 77%, Vancouver at 79%. Neither is good.
Mm-hmm.
5-on-5 expected goals for share. Nashville was the better team. PDO.
I mean, it's obviously the Canucks.
Obviously. And Vancouver won the season series 3-0. All of those games were played.
First half of the season?
Prior to November. So.
How the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, like prior to the end of November, they played 3 times. They didn't play once in the back half of the year.
Who the fuck let that happen?
The NHL scheduling people. The same fucking people who had New Jersey play Toronto 3 times in 2 weeks and nothing else outside
that's
of that.
That's the stupidest thing ever. They played 3 times before November and then never again. Well, they're a Western Conference team.
The Devils and the Leafs played 3 times in 2 weeks to finish off the season. Didn't play once before that.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard. So fucking stupid. Life. It's ridiculous.
So the thing I'm watching closely in this series, the goaltending. Thatcher Demko was absurd last night. He was the reason they won.
Yeah.
The reason they won. And nothing else. And then Quinn Hughes, Roman Josi. So you got Demko, Saros, and you got Quinn Hughes, Roman Josi. From like a fan perspective, watching the two best defensemen in the league this year and two of the best goalies over the last few years, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But we're also getting two awesome playoff atmospheres. Vancouver's last night was incredible. Kudos to all those fans for like coming out and like really making it an atmosphere.
It was great, yeah.
And we know what we're in for in Nashville. So I think regardless of like how the series goes, I just hope it's a long one, because the more of those playoff atmospheres that we get, I think the better we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And no one is going to be upset if we have to watch extra games worth of Roman Josi and Quinn Hughes. Mm-hmm. Like, no one's going to be upset about that.
I think that normally in a series with Nashville involved in it, I would go, okay, well, yeah, they might be outgunned a bit. And you know, I think that, like, I would take Vancouver's D over Nashville, like, right now. I think so. But normally I would say, oh, but you have UC Saros. And UC Saros is the you know, the differentiator here. But
Vancouver is that true.
Exactly. You look at the other side and you have, oh, well, you have a guy who's arguably better, like, at least at this moment. But I think the X factor here is going to be forward depth, because Vancouver just has more. Like, Nashville has a resurgent Ryan O'Reilly. They have Philip Forsberg. You know, they have a
Cody
lot.
Glass
have,
was good this
Cody
year.
Cody Glass was good.
Luke, like, Evangelista has been,
yeah,
really
they
good.
They have good players, but they don't have the Dakota Joshuas out of nowhere. You know, like, you know, even as disappointing as Elias Lindholm has been, they still have Elias Lindholm.
He scored last night.
Yeah.
So you're actually not, there's a moratorium on complaining about him now for at least a week.
Yeah.
You're not allowed.
Like,
not allowed.
Like, that's what you got him for, and he's doing it. Like, they have more offensive pop. They have more offensive depth. And I think over the course of a series, you are at least neck and neck on defense, and you have the advantage in goaltending, if not your neck and neck. But your forward core is just outpaces them. Two Stars and Vegas to round it out. This is arguably, I think, the tightest, like...
Is this going to be the best series of the first round?
I think so. I mean, look, Jets-Avs, we just said, is the best series.
Those
but
are
like,
the two
that But I'm... I think this is the closest matched series. Like, I think these two guys can throw haymakers at each other and return them, like, back and forth. And what I have in my X factor here is goaltending. That's the only thing that really differentiates them, because you have on one end Jake Oettinger, one of the best goalies in the league, potential starter for Team USA if he dukes it out with Thatcher Demko. On the other end, it's Logan
and Connor Hellebuck. Don't forget
and
about
Connor
him.
Hellebuck. So
jeez,
like, it's crazy. Canada goaltending. What are
and,
we doing?
Also Jeremy Swayman. Like, let's
yeah,
just
like, what are we doing with Canada here? It's crazy. But then you have on the other end, you have Logan Thompson. Because
or Aiden Hill,
if Logan Thompson's this game one starter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go, Logie.
So and look, I love Logan Thompson. I think he's great. I think guy was playing.
That's U Sports All Star, Logan Thompson.
Saying, the guy
I coached
U Sports like 3 years ago. Like,
yeah, I coached against.
It's pretty remarkable, but
he was by far the best goalie in the league.
I mean, wow, what a shock. But it's Jake Oettinger on the other end. Now the Stars have such, and obviously, like Vegas is getting back Mark Stone. You know, like, look, and again, he had a very real injury
that we're not sure he's actually healed from.
Exactly. But he's coming back, and it's hilarious. If you look at his transactions in the last 3 years, the exact same thing happens every year. So it's very funny. But then again,
oh,
we,
so funny.
But we know being over it, if like be mad at your team for not doing it.
Yeah.
Like, sorry.
I just hope my only hope is that he's not going to come back and like risk severing his spleen or something like that, because like that's crazy town.
Nah.
First of all, any doctor that allows that should lose their license.
Who needs a spleen when you got a Stanley Cup ring? It'd be great.
So my model has this 50.1% Dallas, 49.9% Vegas.
That's as close as it gets, folks.
I've never had it any closer than that.
These are just two really good hockey teams. They're really deep. They're strong at every position. It's literally just goaltending. And if Aiden Hill was in net, based on the performance that he had through most of this season and through the playoffs last year, I would even say it's like exactly 50-50. But that little step down, because he's banged up a little bit, that little step down to Logan Thompson, not a crazy step down, but it's a little step down. I think that gives the slight edge to Dallas. But one wayward injury, one wayward bounce, even this series could go completely in a different direction. I'm taking Dallas in seven, but I will not beat myself up if I'm wrong.
Yeah, like, I think you and I are pretty much aligned on almost everything, in the sense that 1-23 on the roster, I think Dallas is probably the best team, like the most talented team. The one area where I kind of go, maybe not, is the fact that Bruce Cassidy has the ability to do Theodore, Petrangelo, Hanifin on three different pairings. So at any given time,
one of them
is on
guys.
The ice.
Yeah.
Whereas Dallas, even though they might have the better 1-23, they don't have three defensemen as good as those three. They have one. it's Miro Heiskanen. I would have Thomas Harley at, like, if I were stack ranking, Heiskanen, Harley.
Lindell, maybe?
No. Like, Heiskanen, Harley, and then the three Vegas defensemen. Mm-hmm. Harley is five.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Well, because he's so young.
Like, Heiskanen, probably two.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Right? So you've got two and five, and then you've got one, three, and four. So I think if there is a depth advantage anywhere for Vegas,
it's tough to write off Heiskanen. I think he might even be the best out of the bunch. It just doesn't, you know.
I think Theodore or Pietrangelo, like, I think either one of them, based on experience in the playoffs and playoff performance.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you kind of have to give them the nod. This could be Heiskanen's coming out party, though. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if
he hasn't already had one. Like, it's, yeah.
No, but I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas goes on a run, if we're sitting here and going, Miro Heiskanen needs to be in the same conversation as Quinn Hughes, Roman Josi, maybe not the Kale McCarr conversation yet.
Yeah.
But, like, I think
Heiskanen, in my opinion, Heiskanen is the most underrated player in the NHL. Just point blank. Done. And I know, like,
That's fair.
I hate that sort of argument, because the second you say that, it's no longer viable.
No, but I think that's fair.
This is an elite, like, you know, you obviously have, like, Quinn Hughes, Kale McCarr,
Roman Josi,
Adam Fox are in that upper echelon. Miro Heiskanen is the closest player. Like, he's, if there are other guys knocking on the door, Miro Heiskanen,
I think him and Fox are probably, like,
they're pretty aligned.
Yeah. Like, they're pretty neck and neck in terms of value.
I would say him at, like, if Fox is in that upper echelon, I know he's got a Norris, but, like, if Fox is in that upper echelon, I'd say so is Heiskanen.
Yeah. No, I have Fox below.
Yeah. So if
one notch,
like, I would say Heiskanen and Fox aren't knocking on the door. They have one foot in the door.
That's fair. And McCarr is up here.
McCarr's up here. Hughes, Josi.
Hughes and Josi are here.
Yeah.
And then you've got those guys that have, like, one foot on the level.
And, yeah, and people don't
Quinn
talk.
Quinn went up the staircase, and he's on that level
I hate
now.
To make this argument, but, like, if Miro Heiskanen, first of all, he wouldn't be as good if he played on this team, because it happens. But, like, if Miro Heiskanen played in Toronto, he'd be, like, a Norris finalist every single year.
Oh, because everybody would be watching him every four and a half seconds.
Exactly. But, like, because he plays in Dallas, at least on the East Coast, no one really watches him. Everyone's in bed whenever he plays. But that's a fucking really good player. And I would say, like,
he's definitely underrated. I'm right there with you on that.
At this point in time, and I know that they're better, I know that they have, like, the playoff pedigree under them that's better than Heiskanen. This point in time, like, I think Heiskanen's the best defenseman there. Of those players, he's younger. He's
yeah, but I'm not looking at younger. I'm looking at pure attributed value. I don't have my model up right now.
I think he's just a fresher spring chicken than they are. But
This series goes seven games.
This is a knockdown, drag him out. Like, Vegas.
Would you be surprised if, like, let's say even if the series doesn't go, let's say the series goes six games. If five games went to overtime, would you be remotely surprised?
No, I would expect it. Like, Vegas loaded up at the deadline, and they did, like, getting Mantha and Hurdle. It's amazing. And that gives them
I forgot they got Mantha.
They got Mantha and Hurdle at the deadline for basically nothing. They didn't give up, like, really anything of super, of immediate
Edstrom,
value.
Edstrom is a really good prospect.
Immediate value, I said.
Oh, okay, fine.
And so, like, because we're not talking about who's going to win the 2026 Stanley Cup when Edstrom is finally ready.
Yeah, they gave up no players off
exactly.
the roster.
They took the roster that won the Stanley Cup last year, and they swapped out, like, Riley Smith and Teddy Bluger, basically.
For Thomas Hurdle and Anthony Mantha.
And on top of that, then on the back end, they added Noah Hanifin. So,
RIP.
That's pretty crazy. Then again, though, Dallas, I mean, you get a guy like Chris Tanev to round out that defense core. Like, that's exactly what they needed. It's so, just a really good
team. Here's kind of where I stand on it and where I think if there's a difference to be made. Dallas lacks up front, not on the back end.
Yeah.
Dallas lacks up front a bona fide superstar.
But even then, you have Jason Robertson who can go crazy.
Right, but what I'm saying is like, what is more likely to happen? Jack Eichel going nuclear or Jason Robertson going nuclear?
I would say Jack Eichel.
Well, he won the Conn Smythe last year, so it is
Eichel. Jack Eichel, but like, you know what? That's a tighter margin than you think it is.
But I think, okay, so I look at it when I compare the because, like I said, 1 to 23, I think Dallas is the deepest. But you look at it, would you rather have Jack Eichel or Jason Robertson?
Jack Eichel. Yeah.
Would you rather have Mark Stone or Rupa Hintz, because they're both two-way forwards? I would rather have Mark Stone.
At this, Mark Stone with a spleen that could explode?
Healthy Mark Stone. Yeah, assuming
but,
health.
But he's not healthy right
but
now.
But assuming health, okay. You're taking Mark Stone.
But he's not healthy right now.
Okay, would you rather have Jamie Benn or... no, because he's not their second line center. Wyatt Johnston or Thomas Hurdle? I would rather have Thomas Hurdle right now because Wyatt Johnston hasn't played.
That's what I was going to say.
He's the child. Okay, would you rather have Jonathan Marchessault or Joe Pavelski? I would rather have Jonathan Marchessault. Although, so I think Vegas's top six is better than Dallas's top six, mm-hmm. but Vegas's bottom six is not nearly as good as Dallas's.
Yeah.
And that's where I think if Dallas can capitalize on those minutes, I think that's going to be the series difference
Dallas
maker.
Dallas is stashing like the Radek Faxes, like the even like Logan Stankoven.
Jamie Benn, isn't there?
Yeah, Jamie Radek Faxa,
Mason Marchman,
Tyler Seguin, Logan Stankoven will probably be on the third line.
Bro,
you know, like it's stuff like that. Whereas Vegas, they're still good. Like, you know, you have your Chandler Stevensons and your Keegan Kolasars.
Chandler Stevenson on your third line is objectively
good.
Preposterous.
It's very good. But like you have like your Keegan Kolasars, your William Carriers and stuff like that. It's I get it. It'll be
different. Like I think I mean if we're going to sit here and say, would you rather have Anthony Mantha or Logan Stankoven? I'm going to take Logan Stankoven on that one. Or Keegan Kolasar or Jamie Benn.
But we're talking about right now, though. Like
I'd still rather have Stankoven right now.
In a playoff series?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Against
I've seen that guy perform in the playoffs. And when you think about it, a couple years ago, obviously not the same, but when he was on the World Junior team, all those games matter.
No, that's true.
He was arguably the team's best player outside of Connor Bedard.
Yeah.
Because Connor Bedard
I was there.
That doesn't even
it.
Fucking count.
I was there. I saw it. I was covering it.
Right? Like was he not?
He was the second best player on the ice.
Like, so I feel like he's already proven he could perform in big games. He's done it at every other level. So I have no reason to believe that he wouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to... I mean, my model doesn't even have an advantage. It goes seven games.
Yeah.
That's my prediction, is it goes seven. Yeah.
I have Stars in seven, and the only reason why they pull it out is because Jake Oettinger is a little bit better than either of Aiden Hill or Logan Thompson. I think it'll be good. That's my...
All right, pick. So here's a fun two, like, not superlatives, but, like, two predictions.
Okay.
After round one.
Yeah.
Who is the early Conn Smythe favorite?
Nathan MacKinnon.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. I like that. I think I'm probably right there with you.
I would say MacKinnon or Demko.
Yeah, that's an interesting one as well. Yeah, I mean.
Because I think we just said, I think the Canucks will win that series, but I think it will be on the back of Demko.
That's fair. Yeah. Well, they're going to need him to be good.
But MacKinnon has just gone freaking. Even though I picked Cale Makar as my MVP, like Nathan MacKinnon.
Probably going to get discussed more, kind of thing. So that's sort of where I'm at. And then who is the biggest, not team, but any, it could be team or it could be player. After round one, who is the biggest disappointment?
Mitch Marner.
Okay. And who's your cup pick right now? Today. Gun to your head. Who wins?
The Dallas Stars. So I'm going with the Dallas Stars.
This is a Dallas Stars podcast.
I wish the Stars and the Avs could play each other in the Cup final. In a just world, you know, if we weren't living
Dallas and Vegas as like a third round series, and Colorado somehow in the Eastern Conference,
exactly.
And we get a Dallas Colorado final.
If we weren't living in Joe Biden's America, then that would be happening. But instead, we have to lose the good cup final matchup because of woke.
So interesting. I looked at this and I wanted to bring this up with you because I wanted to get your take on it. We've talked about going back to 1-8. So
I would very much enjoy that.
In the East, it actually shook out. It is 1-8.
Yeah.
They're just not reseeding. In the West, we can agree, if you're picking contenders out of the West, you're probably going in some fashion Dallas, Winnipeg, Colorado, Vegas. That's probably...
Not Edmonton?
They're probably five, but, like, my point is, like, those four are going to come up.
I think I'd pick Edmonton over Winnipeg in okay. that contender.
So, based on how the bracket is, because the NHL is stupid, only one of those teams is going to be left in the conference final. When the reality is, it should be at least two of them.
Great. Like, great work, Gary. Good job. No, this is, look, I think
or
this
not
is
at least two. It should be those two. But because they have to meet in
yeah.
right off the hop, like, that just, it doesn't.
It's
whereas
a bit
in
of a
the,
bummer. Yeah.
In the East, I think there's a better chance that we get two of the two best teams because Carolina can't play Florida. And the Rangers can't play Florida mm-hmm. until the conference final. And I think if we're sitting here right now, we can comfortably say those are probably the three best teams in the East, right?
Yeah.
So at least there, we're more likely to get a matchup in the East of the two best teams or two of the three best teams. Whereas in the West, we already know full stop, we aren't going to get the two best teams because there is a fair argument to be made that the two best teams are either facing off right now in Dallas and Vegas, or they're going to face off when Colorado plays Dallas in 2 weeks.
I think that's a fair assumption. All right. Well, on that note, hope everyone enjoys watching some great playoff hockey. We'll be back on Friday, to discuss potentially the burning, smoldering rubble that is the Leafs' current era. But
Mike is so positive right now. It's positive Monday.
They're fucking cooked, dude. You can subscribe on literally any pod platform there is out there.
Leave us a review.
Leave us a review. Rate us. Leave us a review. It'd be great. Subscribe on YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, you know, all the hip and cool stuff with the youths. And donate to Jumpstart, our charity of choice. Jumpstart helps economically disadvantaged kids play team sports, which is a cause that is very, very near and dear to Rachel and I's hearts. So do that, and we will see you on Friday.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.